So we're going to start with verse 1, chapter 1, right at the very beginning, Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Friends, these are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this, we enter with expectation, because we believe in the power of your word. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak into our lives, into our time, into this place, into this community. Jesus, if I have anything to add to that, please bless it. If I don't, then just remove it. We trust you. It's in your name we pray, Christ. Amen. All right, well, it's really good to be back. It really is. Thank you for your prayers, and we are blessed to be back. And as I said, we're starting a new series here. We're going to call it A Different Drum, as in following the beat to a different drum. For those of you who didn't know, I spent the first year of my university experience in the University of Tennessee Marching Band. I spent a year in it because, though it was an absolute thrill, it took up a lot of time, and I decided that if I was going to continue being a student at the University of Tennessee, 1 year was enough for me. But that 1 year was a thrill. It was an absolute thrill. And there was no moment more thrilling than the moment that's displayed right here, the pregame show. That's where it really was the pregame show. And there's this moment where this is right at the end, and there's this T that opens up for Tennessee. But before I get to that moment, I have to tell you, I remember learning the music to this moment. And I was a percussionist. And all of us, in this moment, this big moment, pretty much just played quarter notes. We know what a quarter note is, right? One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. It sounds inspiring, doesn't it? Boom, 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 boom. I have to be honest, as I'm learning and I'm thinking, for a college music program, this feels a little weak. And it did. So back to this moment. Here we are. There's this moment where, this big T actually starts as a very thin T. And then it opens up to the open T. And the big difference here is not so much the shape above the T, it's the volume, but not of the band. Of all those other people in the stadium, because what happens when that T opens up? What do you think? The team runs onto the field. And if you notice, nobody's really looking at any one direction on the band. We're all looking in different directions. And what transpires in that moment, I kid you not, is the loudest thing I've ever experienced in my life. It's over 100,000 people screaming and singing and clapping, and none of it is in time with what we're doing. And I'm not lying. Please, this is not hyperbole. You cannot hear the person standing right next to you playing music. It gets that loud. And it is on that day that I learned to appreciate the humble quarter note more than I ever had in my entire life. Because underneath all that chaos was this that held it all together. Nobody else cared about that except the 300 people that are trying to play music on the field, keeping it together. But isn't that the Christian walk? We get a lot of noise. We get a lot of things pulling our attention. You should care about this. This should define you. This should define. And yet underneath it, there's this different beat that we're trying to follow. It's the beat of the gospel. And to be totally honest, it's a beat that is going to leave us looking a little different from the world. Sometimes even looking a little weird in the eyes of the world. That beat, if we're going to follow it, is going to call us to be separate. And it's even going to cost us at times to follow that beat of a different drum. And yet it will be good every single time. And over the next few weeks, that's what we're going to talk about, is what does it mean to follow this different beat even when the rest of the world will look at us and say, you're weird. Are you ready? Okay, that's where we're starting off this morning. We're just going to look at the first 8 verses. That's all we need. That's plenty. And I get to plug next week because my wife, she doesn't know I'm going to plug this, but my wife Rebecca is going to preach her first sermon here at St. Giles next week. So she gets the next section. So whatever you hear today, don't worry. It's only going to get better. And what we're focusing on today is that to be a Christian is to operate with a different criteria of hope. Okay? Our criteria for hope looks different from the world. So let's dive in this morning because as we're starting with this church, let's get a little bit of an idea of who this church is. Colossians is not a long letter, is it? It's short. We don't get a huge glimpse at who they are, but there's some things that are worth noting. And sometimes an introduction is just that, an introduction. But sometimes it's a little bit more than that. And I think our first couple verses in Colossians is a little bit more than that. So let's look and see what Paul has to say here. He opens up by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossa, grace to you and peace from God, our Father. Well, Paul opens up with his kind of customary statement of authority that he often has to defend, that he's an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, right? We won't go into that because I want to focus our attention on this little piece he says about the Colossians. What are the two pieces he says about them? He says they're saints and they're what? They're faithful. They're faithful. I don't want to miss that because Paul doesn't throw that one out very often. You know, to the Romans, he says they're beloved, and they're called to be saints. To the first letter of the Corinthians, he says they're sanctified. Second letter, he doesn't say anything. And by the time he gets to the Galatians, well, he's really not in the mood for flattery by that point. So, but the Colossians are faithful. As a matter of fact, there's only one other church that gets faithful mixed in, and that they're just down the road, and that's the Ephesians. Faithful. They're faithful. There's a quality about this church that is exciting, that's on fire. And Paul's encouraging them to be those people of Jesus in their city. You're doing it. You're faithful. Keep walking that path. Faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. And what makes this even more exciting is that this is a young church. Paul didn't even plant this church from what most people believe. It was probably planted by the guy in verse 7, Epaphras. And so Paul's encouraging them. And that's what makes Colossians, to me, a treat of the New Testament. It's we get this glimpse into a very young and somewhat healthy church whose main focus is faithfully walking out this different drum, following Jesus mentality. So in our opening passage, verses 1 through 8, Paul is identifying what this different drum kind of church looks like. And I want to focus in here on starting with verse 4 this morning. Let me read it for us one more time. I've highlighted some words that I think are very helpful to us this morning. He says, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You've heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This is a meaty little passage for a greeting. It's very meaty. It's where I want to focus our time in, because it says here that they're becoming very well known for their ability to do what in verse 4? To love. That's a pretty good thing for being known for, don't you think? Somebody should write a song about that. Sorry, it's a bad preacher's joke. But the more important question is, why do they love? Verse 5. Because of the hope. Because of the hope that is laid up for you. Have you ever noticed that you can tell a lot about a person by listening to what they hope for? Have you ever had that chance when you have a conversation with somebody and they just, you can tell their passion kicks in, and this is what they live for. This is what their deepest hopes are. This is what they really get excited. And what's so neat about it is often our hopes are tied to what our vision for success looks like, right? The things that we hope the most for are really what a world of success is going to mean. And Paul says that the Christian hope is based in the truth of the gospel that bears fruit. The truth of the gospel that bears fruit. Now, I don't think I have to say this to make the point, but I'll say it so I can move forward. That's a little bit different from what the world views as success, isn't it? Truth that bears fruit. As a matter of fact, I think it's the kind of picture of success where people will look at you and say, that's all you're living for? It's kind of weird. But that's okay, because I think people probably thought the church in Colossae was weird too. As a matter of fact, we see through church history, people thought the church was weird. It was a little bit out of touch with the world. People couldn't understand why these Christians in the early church would love people for no reason, often at a cost to themselves. People couldn't understand why Christians would go into a place that was rampant with disease and sickness and would sit there and nurse them back to aid, even at a cost to themselves. We see in church history, people couldn't understand when the Christians would get together and they'd have these things, they'd call them agape feasts or love feasts. And they would get together and share fellowship with one another. They'd sing songs together. They'd feed the poor. And people would mock them for it. Of all things, there's this weird practice that the church would do called the Lord's Supper. And so so the world would just call them cannibals to mock. if we praise the Lord for nothing else, be happy to know that you will walk out of here and nobody will call you a cannibal today. It's always been the case. To be the church is to be weird in the eyes of the world. It's okay. Christian hope is different. It's most certainly not based on the emotion of the day. Right here in verse 5, it says it. It's based on the truth of the gospel. Now, I need to give you a warning, because 24 hours ago, I had a completely different sermon at this point. But as I prayed and meditated on the events of the week, I decided that this scripture has something to speak to us this morning, especially about this week. And I need to tell you that what I'm not going to do is give you my political opinion right now. I have one, much like yourselves, I'm sure, and be glad to talk with you about it anytime except this moment right here, because this pulpit is much grander than my political opinion. It's the pulpit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think the gospel has something for us this morning. I think the truth of the gospel has something for us this morning. And I think the way that Paul's addressing this letter to the Colossians speaks something to our very moment. Isn't it wonderful when the word just shows itself to be very eternal, right? And so that's what our call is this morning. Our call is to look to hope. It's to look to this hope that the Colossian church is faithfully modeling somehow, some way. And it sounds wonderful on paper, but practically, what does it mean to be shaped by a hope that is built in truth that produces fruit? I want to give us just three thoughts this morning on what I think a faithful, gospel-centered practice can look like after a hard week where I love how Keith put it, where maybe some of us lost our hallelujahs. The first is this. I think one of the most important things we can be doing right now as Christians, that's all I'm talking to this morning. This is a Christian sermon. Is to listen. I think we are called to listen and to listen deeply. The different drum listens right now. Because the world is screaming back and forth to be heard. But I think it's moments like these where silence can be deafening. It gets people's attention, doesn't it? It builds trust and it sows seeds of love. And I say this because Jesus was an incredible listener. You ever notice that? He could and would listen to anybody. He'd listen to Pharisees that didn't agree with him. He'd listen to people who were desperate for his attention. Even when he's on the way to heal this person that's got to be healed right now, somebody grabs and says, but I need to be healed. And he turns and puts all his focus on that woman who's saying, I've been bleeding for years. Help me. He listened to disciples who really struggled to get it over and over. He even made sure to listen to little children. But the moment that probably grabs our attention the most is when he's on the cross and he's fighting off death and he still had the ability to listen to people who were hurling insults and curses at him, didn't agree with him, thought he was a phony, and he listened well enough to intercede to the Father on their behalf. And say, Father, please forgive them. They know not what they say. Why? Because he knew what they were saying. He could pray that prayer. I think in times when it gets really hard and we don't know what to do, one of the most Christ-like actions we'll ever take is to listen. It's to just listen and get it all on the table. However, if and when we choose to speak, I think we do so from a place that is rooted in the deepest of truths. Is that not what Paul is commending the Colossians for doing? He's saying, you are faithful because you are living out truth, the truth of the gospel. I think it's really challenging, and I'm going to speak my own heart right here. This is my challenge. Is when something hard happens, I immediately get drawn into the spin cycle. You know what I'm talking about. And the spin cycle is typically based on one thing. Who's right and wrong? Who's the victorious one? I get yanked into it, and I start asking, who's right and who's wrong? Who's the victorious one here? Forgetting the reality that as a Christian, we can, without a blink of an eye, tell you who's right and who's wrong. And I know who the victorious one is. Amen? His name is Jesus Christ. And he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when I'm looking for words to speak, I don't have to turn very far from truth. I know where to go. I know who to turn to. And so Who do we quote? Whose words do we cling to? Oh, we cling to Jesus' words. And I don't mean that to sound Pollyannish. I mean, it's because it's all I've got in moments like these when things get hard and people are angry and frustrated and hurt. We're frustrated and hurt. Where do you go in those moments? You go to the one source of truth that weird people who listen to the beat of a different drum go to. You go to the words of Jesus. And I think it's in moments like these that we step into that incredible call to be the royal priesthood, as Hebrews calls us. And as priests, we minister to the world by being Christ to it, don't we? It's the founder of the Navigators, Dawson Trotman, had this great quote. He said, "Never do anything that someone else can do and will do when there's so much of importance to be done which others cannot or will not do." Friends, let us be quick to cling to truth and to minister to people and be Christ to people right now. People need Jesus right now. They need Him. But if we're going to do that, there's one final thing. And I know this is shaking the pot a little bit this morning, shaking the tree a little bit this morning. But it's the only thing I know to cling to in places like this. The obvious piece would be to pray, right? And Lord willing, we've already hit that point. And so I'm not going to talk about that. Because I think this text is focusing us on something very specific. I think the scripture is calling us to something that is, if we're going to be faithful, we focus on the truth and the fruit of the gospel when challenges arrive by seeping ourselves deeply in this. This is the source of our beat. This is the boom, 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 boom that we hear when fear rises, when frustration rises, when we actually don't know what to say anymore. This is the source. We live in a culture that is saturated in information. It is. I mean, it's not hard to come by information. But this becomes our greatest source of information and therefore formation. Yes. We commit ourselves to it. We commit ourselves at sitting at the feet of the Rabbi Jesus and saying, "Lord, come, please, fill me with your word. Fill me with who you are. Guide my heart right now. My heart needs to be shaped by you. It needs it." And we feel it in times like these, more so than usual. So St. Giles, I want to make a challenge to each of us right now. There is a lot of voices that we can and honestly should listen to. We need to be informed people. But whatever amount of time you spend daily or weekly reading this, right now, for this season, right now, let's increase it. Let's increase it. Let's spend more time in it. And the time that we spend in it, let's make sure we sit at the feet of the Rabbi. Let's go straight to the words of Jesus right now. Let's spend time in that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Let's spend time just sitting in those parables in Luke. Let's spend time watching Him work His miracles in John. Let's saturate ourselves with the life of Jesus and let this word that has the power to transform us at every corner of our lives be the greatest place of formation right now, because we need it. It's not because it's the right thing to do. It's because our hearts are yearning for it. And the world's looking for it. And it's going to look weird. I know it's going to look weird, but you know what? Maybe the world could use a little weird right now. Maybe the world could use some Jesus followers. I think that when we do this, and I say this because it's been the history of the church over and over and over again, that the greatest times of despair turn into these times of strange fruitfulness. But it's the only kind of fruit that truth can bear, that the truth of the gospel can bear. Friends, can we make a commitment to fruitfulness this week? Just this week. Let's focus. We don't have to look way down the road. This week, let's focus on feeding our hearts so that we'll see fruitfulness. Amen? Let me pray for us, because we're about to enter into something that's very challenging. Lord Jesus, as I say this, I feel, it's like I can almost feel the talons of deception gripping at me, trying to rip it apart and say, no, 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 I'm not going to let you get there. We're not going to get that far into truth. I'm going to give you a bunch of other stuff to draw your mind away. I can do that. I know how to draw your mind. I know the things that you ache to be distracted by. So Jesus, I pray a prayer and a hedging of protection over every person right now that is listening to this, whether it be in this sanctuary or online at your house. Jesus, I pray words of protection that you would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, that you would draw us with a deep thirst and hunger for your word this week, that we would find over and over again, we are not satisfied until your word has poured into our hearts and minds. Jesus, be at the center of our thoughts. Be our peace. Be the one who calls us over and over into a deep truth that we know in our deepest knower to be that which is the greatest guiding force in our lives. Jesus, may our souls be drawn to following you this week. Help us. We can't do it on our own. We know where you've called us, and you've called us right here, right now. It is no mistake, Jesus, that you have put us right here in this time right now. But it's also no mistake that you've put us here. You have. And so we follow you. We give you our hearts. We declare that on Christ, the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. Come, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.